Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Happy Wednesday. Today is October 4th, 2017. I'm Michelle Pichet, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Timothy Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. The calling number is 563-999-3581. If you press 1, that will put you in the queue, and I'll open your microphone, and you can chat with Tim and I. We encourage you to call in with your comments and questions, allowing you to actively strengthen your process of forgiveness. Now, let's welcome Tim in support of developing our skills and practice of forgiveness. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hello, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm doing okay right now.
All right. Well, thank you for your for your participation in processing yesterday and giving people an example of the worksheet process. It's now available in the archives. We encourage everyone to go back and listen to yesterday's show if they want another example of working through a worksheet when one is thoroughly triggered, as all of us can be, anyone can be at any time. And the worksheet we're talking about is the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness, which has been made available to us through Michael and Jeannie's tireless efforts on the website at whyagain.org. And if you go there and click on the link that says Start Here or the red and white bullseye, it takes you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Michael Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And in that chapter, he describes in words what the process of forgiveness is and how it's become available in the reality management worksheet. And he also makes available the latest version of the 7-step worksheet process. And I forget how many shows, but it's probably over 16 different audio files that you can download that are shows just like this that contain testimonials of people who've done this work or people being stepped through the worksheet process, just like Michelle was yesterday. So there's more than you would ever need to become proficient at using the worksheet process and then developing mastery. So we strongly encourage people to go and take advantage of these tools that Michael and Jeannie make available for free. There's also the possibility to donate at any time. If these tools are helping you, please feel free to send them a donation and or buy the videos that Michael Rice makes available that outline, I think he said he's got 15 different videos, there might be more now, that outline different aspects of this work and the tools that can help me reach inside my mind, uncover, and then once I have taken full responsibility for what I uncover in my mind, dismantle anything that's less than love, and leave myself available for a far more loving, a far more creative and productive life in my relationships, in my financial life, in my physical, emotional life. So that's the core of this work, and it's available for free for those who can't afford to support it. And we encourage people to pass along copies of this radio show and to go and avail themselves of the tools and put them to use daily. One of the things that came out in the intro yesterday was something we haven't talked about in a while, the idea that by the time most children in our culture are 4 or 5 years old, they're trained to think they need to wash their hands and face and brush their teeth and comb their hair on a regular basis. So we teach physical hygiene at a very young age, and yet we don't teach what's probably even more important, which is emotional hygiene. And that's another way to talk about these tools that are available, that they are available for an active use to clean up what's less than love from my mind-body-energy system, to keep me in a more loving, a more productive, energetic space on a regular basis. So I'll leave the intro there and ask Michelle if you have any questions or comments before we go to our caller.
Well, I think just the key points that I shared in text with you after the show are valuable to share, in the sense that when you said 90 seconds, I really thought it felt like 20 minutes at that point, and I was shocked that you were ready to, you know, close out the show. So that to me indicates that something good was happening. And also that, you know, I've participated in a support group here in Lansing for over 3 years. I, you know, taught in prison with Rex Law of Living. I've gone all over the country, probably got 9 intensive under my belt at this point. You know, I can't claim Susan Darnell level of workshop or worksheet, but certainly my fair share. Sometimes I'm surprised I pick up notebooks and I'll see like all these worksheets that, you know, I've written, and like, wow, I did more than I thought at, you know, that intensive or another one. So the fact that the level of gut-wrenching intensity that I was experiencing earlier that morning, and, you know, as you were doing the intro, it's almost like, because I know the opportunities that become available on the radio show, the love vortex, so to speak, had me feeling even more emotional, like it just wanted to come up and out. So that, you know, new level of awareness or what was available yesterday, you know, was unexpected, but also kind of curious, like, wow, why was this one so big, or what's different this time, or is this a deeper level, because I got the intensive coming up in my house here in a week. So, you know, those kind of ideas came to mind after our show. And I, you know, took notes, and I think I had a headache for most of the day, and I think it was just because there was just so much intense emotion moving around, and as much as I like to storm the gates, I figured that diary is there for me to pick up anytime I want to, you know, see if there's anything left. Any thoughts more from you in terms of
well, just, like, you know, just congratulations for being willing to do the work, and for each of us, whether we're in a support group or we speak up on the internet show, who are willing to share our process, it's a gift you know, the primary gift is to us as individuals to do our own work and to be emotionally and lovingly supported in that work. And then it's a gift to the community. So I appreciate your being willing to share. And and I'm just very glad for you that you're willing to take the next step to take ownership of what was going on with you and begin to dismantle it, because it certainly is nothing pleasant. And yet at the same time, it's available for dismantling. And then I just resonate with the gratitude for having access to these tools. So that's all I would share.
I wondered, I was imagining that there might have been some people in your support group who heard it.
And?
I don't know, maybe springboard from there.
Yeah, and for anybody who's, whether they're in a support group or not, it's a blessing for the person who's sharing, because they get loving support, and it's then, you know, a gift for anybody who's tapped into that. So again, appreciation and gratitude.
How do you say it? You're most welcome and deserving?
That's correct.
All right. So it looks like area code 610 puts their hand up right away. So let's say hello.
Hi, Susan here.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle. Hey, Dr. Tim. I heard the show yesterday, and Michelle, I don't think there is a mother on the planet, and probably not a father, who hasn't felt tremendous grief and guilt about things that they did to their children when they weren't conscious. And a lot of us had children when we were pretty young, and we made a lot of mistakes. And so I grabbed a piece of paper, and as you were working, I was working right along with you, filling in the blanks, and so many of the things you said, I could have said myself. It was very moving. I loved that you were so open, and I know you were feeling a lot of pain, and I have some questions about the technique, but I just wanted to thank you for being so vulnerable and giving us that gift. I did a worksheet right along with you. It was great. Thank you.
That sounds awesome. I'm glad you found it helpful. You know, as far as being vulnerable, it's not easy, but I feel like the level of despair I was feeling, I mean, I was surrendering. Like, this is too much.
Yeah. Yep. Even as you say that, I'm taking my deep breath. I mean,
right, I know, I felt that come up too.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks. Thanks, both of you. It was a beautiful piece of work. Amazing. And so I bet other people were listening and right with you. I had a question for you, Dr. Tim, about Michelle was crying hard, and you were saying, breathe, breathe. And I was wondering if you were trying to sort of truncate the time she cried in order to keep the show going, or whether that is something that you always do. Is it bad to have a hard cry and cry it through? What's the deal there?
Can I answer?
Yes, but
yeah.
Take a breath first. Susan, take a breath.
I'm taking one.
This is my own little piece, and then Tim, you can fill in what I don't cover. But the way I experience it is that we lock down the energies we don't want to feel when we hold our breath. And
mm-hmm.
So when the feeling of the sadness was moving through me, Tim coached me to relax my throat, relax wherever I noticed the tension in my body, so that I wouldn't be holding my breath intermittently. The energy is coming out fast, and what you don't know, I was tapping my face while I was breathing, but the focus
mm-hmm.
is on allowing the energy to, like, funnel out, because otherwise, if you're
yeah.
you're holding your breath intermittently and locking half that stuff down, where I have this open opportunity Tim's an awesome coach. I've got the listeners finding love and being supported. So I know to take full advantage and listen to his direction, because the body wants to intermittently hold its breath, and like I call it funeral crying. But I was fortunate an opportunity one time during a small group lecture where Michael was talking about honoring your mother and father. And given my history, I had an attitude like, first 20 years, shame on you. Next 20 years, shame on me. I got to stay away from that topic. So the invitation from Michael was directly the opposite of it. And it resonated all the sadness related to an unhealed relationship with my mother. There was a small group of people, and I really didn't, feel as willing to be vulnerable and cry during the election and call attention to myself. And so knowing that I have an opportunity to practice the principle, I, Rex was sitting right next to me, and so I knew I had, his support. I started to move the energy that I was feeling, and it's like kind of crying quietly, but basically feeling the sadness move and breathing a connected breath through my mouth. And tears were coming out of my face so forcefully, they were like shooting, not dripping. That amount of energy I was moving, but you couldn't hear a peep other than my breath. It went right into the lecture. I was doing that for about 10, 15 minutes. He ended the lecture, and I just went into a full-blown breathing session. And some folks came around and supported me, and it was amazing. And so because I had that direct experience, I know it can be done. And when you're up against it, someone like Tim reminding me and coaching me as it was happening was so valuable, because you know what to do, and sometimes it's intense, and you don't, you revert to the old bad habit. So that's how it is for me, at least.
That is really interesting, partly because I almost never cry, and I have cried once on this radio show, and it caught me by surprise. Michael said the story about the little boy whose parents made him go out in the woods and get the switch, get the branch with which he was switching, and he couldn't find one, and so he brought some rocks in and told his parents that they could use those. And that story got me, and I was really flummoxed to find that I was crying, and Michael was saying, breathing, breathing, and I was thinking, at last, I'm crying. I haven't cried for months. I didn't think I knew how to anymore. So I was doing what Michael said, and the benefit was tremendous, but I thought, if I weren't on this radio show, I would just go and howl somewhere, But so I haven't experienced crying as any kind of holding of anything, but of finally releasing something.
Well, I think it is a release, and it's like a release at 70%. Why not do it 100 if you're going to go feel and move that energy? And then all
the
sudden, it kind of goes away,
The breathing helps it release then. The breathing helps it release because it also stops it. But anyway.
I think it's the vehicle and how it moves out of your body. Oxygen as much as the prana, the life force, the rupa dukkha aspects.
Okay.
Is that on track, Jim?
Yes. And the only thing I would add to that is that, and Susan just said, the breathing stops it. That hasn't been my experience.
Okay.
When I ask somebody to keep breathing, I say it's perfectly okay to cry. As a matter of fact, you can't really stop yourself from crying when that energy's up. And at the same time, if you hold your breath, just as Michelle said, you're going to lock down energies that could be processed out with the crying. So if you need to cry, and keep your breath moving.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
The part I found valuable, Tim, because they usually match my inhale and exhale, and you suggested letting it out for twice as long. And when I heard you doing it, I, wow, he took in a long breath, because that exhale is going like opera singer, but you know, that was a little bit different. And that you know, that moment you say like hold it for a moment and then release it twice as long. Actually, as I'm remembering, I wanted to ask you about the holding it piece.
Well, this type of breathing where I comfortably fill my lungs and then I purse my lips so there's some resistance as I breathe out slowly so that the exhale is at least 1.5 to 2 or 3 times as long as the inhale, I can do that kind of breathing all day without getting lightheaded. What happens when I start to feel tension or threatened is my body moves into what you might call the stress response on the way to the fight or flight response. And in that breathing pattern, my body thinks it's under threat, and so it's going to hyperventilate. And if I need to run or fight for my life, this kind of breathing is fine, because I'm going to pour extra oxygen into my bloodstream, which is going to get immediately used by the muscles that are running or fighting. However, if I sit here and I'm not using my muscles for running and fighting, and I do that kind of breathing, I will do what they call hyperventilating, and I will pass out. I will overload with oxygen without getting rid of the carbon dioxide. I'll get dizzy and I'll pass out. So to counteract that, to have people be able to keep a nice, full, deep breath going, I have found it's extraordinarily useful to comfortably fill the lungs, to purse the lips, and then resist on the exhale so I don't just open my mouth and because it's more of a message to my body that it's okay. And there's a nonverbal, there's a kinesthetic component that just drops the body out of the stress mechanism and away from that fight or flight trigger. When I just take a comfortably deep breath, and some people feel a need to just take a 1 or 2 second pause before exhaling. But then the key for me is make the exhale long and slow. Pull the diaphragm up and push the air out. This is something that the body cannot do if it's actually in fight or flight mode, if it's actually trying to fight for survival. So if I can get my body to do that, it sends this wonderful kinesthetic message to my body, we're safe. Drop down out of the stress response. Pull away from the fight or flight response and relax. So that's my reason for saying and doing it that way. And again, I'm results-oriented, so that if that doesn't produce good results for you, then go to something else. You know, Andrew Weil has a 4-7-8 breathing technique. There are other people that do it, breathe into a 4-count, breathe out to a 4-count. I'm results-oriented, so do what works for you.
I have a couple
and just to
more
be clear,
questions.
Just to be clear, when I ask somebody to breathe, it's in order to keep the energy moving. And if they need to cry, that's fine. And if they need to keep processing, that's fine. And what we understand from direct observation in this work is that when I hold my breath, I'm blocking the flow.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
great
my,
to know.
My interest is in opening the flow.
Mm.
If it leads to tears, that's fine. If it leads to a shaking release of energy, that's fine. It's all okay. There's nothing in my system that I need to fear.
That's good. That's good. Because in my family, we were whipped for crying. Crying was a big nuisance. So I guess I took the breathing thing as taking away permission. And this is good. I'm glad you clarified all that. That's great.
All right. You have other questions?
I do. This is going to seem silly, but do you ever want to just not work on yourself and go do a crossword puzzle or watch a stupid movie or eat a bowl of ice cream and not think about anything at all?
Let me just begin, let me just begin by saying I would strongly recommend that you do a worksheet or two or a breath session or two or some tapping around how many times you say, this is going to seem silly. Whatever emotions you have loaded around seeming silly are on display most of the times when you call. And it is not based in reality. This is strictly, or actuality, this is strictly an internal reality for you.
Yes.
Your questions are everybody's questions. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever, in all of my time on this internet show over the past 6.5 years, unless it was one of the prank callers who was trying to get something vulgar on the air, I haven't heard a bad question or a ridiculous question.
Mm-hmm.
And yours are carefully considered, respectfully asked, and yet on a regular basis you say, this is going to sound silly.
You're right. That is true.
It might be useful for you to just do some worksheets around what is that bias that's loaded within you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, that opens up a lot of different thoughts, but that's very good. Thanks. I also have been calling in a lot, and I feel as if maybe I'm calling in too much and hogging too much time. That's part of it. It's the same mechanism. So I'll do a worksheet on that one too.
Do you think it's connected to
what?
Go ahead, Michelle.
I was wondering if you're thinking it's connected to like your value or worth, because I remember, and it feels like maybe just this summer that you started calling in regularly, and it seems to me like that's the first time I became aware of you calling, and I remember texting Jeannie something like, "Who's this Susan girl? She's amazing. I want to talk to her more. You think, you know, and like her questions are so good." And I was like, I love having your presence on this show. And so it's funny that, you know, you might have a different perception, because I think you're an asset.
Thanks. I've been loving learning what you are teaching on this show. It's been wonderful. But I just feel as if I grabbed onto it with both hands and have had a lot of airtime. And it is now, I go back to what Dr. Tim said about introducing a question as being possibly stupid or something, or feeling guilty for taking too much space and too much time. all of that, I know where that comes from. And it's just good to have it pointed out, because I don't want you to have to take care of me. That isn't fair. I don't need to do that. I can regulate that myself. Or if I'm doing too much, you can tell me that I'm doing too much. I don't need to sort of pull out the whip and whip myself first before you whip me, if you know what I mean. So that's very helpful, just that little that observation. It's good.
Everybody breathing?
Yes, I forgot, but I just started again. Thanks. So I had asked if you ever want to just not do the work. You just want to do something mindless.
Is that a serious question? Do you think there's a possibility that... do you think there's a possibility that all anybody who calls the show, all they ever do is worksheets?
No,
okay,
but
so
you who run the show.
What's behind the question?
Guilt.
Let's get to what's behind the real question.
Yeah. Guilt for wasting time. More guilt.
Okay, so there's, you know, a good set of targets for you to do more work around feeling, you know, thinking that you're guilty for doing anything other than whatever you want to call this, your spiritual work or becoming a better person, or thinking that you're guilty for, quote, wasting time, close quotes. That's a wonderful target for you to explore and simply dismantle it.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Yep.
You may have heard or not, but we've talked about the negative nature of guilt, and some people would like to argue for the value of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And we have very accurate, repeated observations that help us understand guilt is not productive. Guilt builds pain and frustration within the individual, and when it builds to a certain level, then the individual reaches for his or her next application of their drug of choice. And
mm-hmm.
so then they end up relapsing more often, or they end up abusing themselves or others more often. Guilt, however people talk about it, however much people try to pretend that it's a useful thought process, isn't useful. It's
mm-hmm.
a negative thought process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in one of the handouts that I give people in a first session, it's the number two observation on my bottom line observation, which is blame's a luxury item. I've seen kindergarten age children that are expert at blaming, and yet I've never seen
mm-hmm.
blame lead to the productive or constructive resolution to a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my radar going in my life and in my therapy sessions for any indication that somebody's trying to blame themselves or blame somebody else or blame the circumstances in their life for something they don't like. And when my radar goes off, I call a timeout and I say, hey, why don't we stop doing that and focus on something that at least has a chance of being productive? Blame, guilt, shame is not it.
Mm-hmm.
So with that as an active observation in my life, when I have thoughts of, oh, gee, I'm wasting my time. Oh, gee, I'm to blame. Oh, gee, I'm at fault. I'm guilty here.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that happens, that's you know, like I've said before, there are a number of things that I use as red flags. I use them as alarm systems. If I have a negative emotion, these days I've connected that in my mind as an alarm system, trying to tell me, hey, Tim, your thoughts are off the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tim, you've chosen the wrong 9 bits of information, or you've arranged them in a way that's distorted, so you're not seeing life clearly. Hey, Tim, your eyes are closed, and you're walking down the street right toward an open manhole. Stop. Take a breath. Restore your clarity. Restore your vision. Restore yourself to the loving energy. And then when you look at life, you're going to see a more accurate picture. Well, mm-hmm. So then lately, last week or the week before, I heard myself say on the radio show, you know what I've been doing lately? I've also added to that, anytime I hear myself say, oh, I know what's going on, I call it to him out and say, you don't know what's going on. You barely know how to get dressed and get to work on time. You don't know how to digest your food. You don't know how the stars are in alignment. You don't know what's happening inside your brother or sister and what they need to move to the next level. You're just a conduit for an energy that can know those things.
Mm-hmm.
So now here's another one. If I'm feeling blame, if I think I'm to blame, that's another thing. If I think, uh-oh, what are other people going to think of me? Well, I want to breathe into that. I want to pay attention to what emotions are generated in me when I think about the thought, what are others going to think of me? And if it's a negative emotion, I want to be willing to use the tools. I want to be willing to pick up the tools and step through them. You might have heard me say this to Michelle yesterday. A couple of times she got off on starting to talk about, yes, but that makes me think of this and that. And I said, time out. Don't go there. Put those thoughts on the side where they can ramble all they want. We're just going to come back here and step through this tool.
Mm-hmm.
My conscious, logical mind can't resolve my mental, emotional, or physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
In large part, the misapplication of my conscious, logical mind is responsible for my physical, mental, and emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to breathe through it and apply a
mm-hmm.
tool and trust the process.
Mm. Good.
Thoughts, comments, questions, answers?
I'm just thinking about, I've got at least 3 worksheets listed here that I'm going to tackle. And they're all interrelated, and this is really good. I don't have anything to say. I do have testimonial. The other day I brought up about ants in my kitchen. They're virtually gone, and they went the day I went and very respectfully talked to them and had a little brush, very tender bristles, and brushed them onto a piece of paper or a leaf. I did it several times. Took them outside and said, you live out here, and I live in there, and you're not supposed to come in. And it's been a week, and once in a while, we see an ant that comes around, and I respectfully tell it to tell its friends to go away, but this, to me, is holy mackerel. This is so profound because this convinces me about some kind of unifying force in the universe that I talk about and I think about, but I've never felt it or seen it demonstrated in a way that I got it the way I got it about the ants. So that's my ant report.
All right. All right.
Well, can you come and talk to my deer?
You talk to deer?
Yeah, my deer eat my orchard. So I need a.
How are you doing with it?
I need a deer whisperer.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, part of me thinks, oh, it's just a coincidence. But this is an incredible coincidence. And my husband's mind is blown, too. He says, have you noticed? The ants have gone. What happened? And I told him what I was doing on the radio show. And so he's talking to the ants now. And my son is talking to his aunts up at his house. And my son, by the way, is also doing worksheets. He's just talking through them now. But we go for walks. He's had tremendous anxiety and stress in his life. And he's applying these principles too. So what's happening with me and you on the radio show and all the other people who call in is being spread around. And you probably don't have any idea how far it's being spread around.
Well, we can never know. We just trust the process and understand that the conscious logical mind is the problem and is part of the problem and has a very limited use. As Einstein would say something to the effect that, you know, we've got this fabulous gift, which is the intuitive mind, and we've
mm-hmm.
got a faithful servant, which would be the logical mind. And we're living in a culture that's forgotten the gift and elevated the servant to the level of master.
Yeah.
So, thank you for your call. Someone else with area code 910 has a hand up.
That's
your
Susan.
Calls and questions, Susan, are welcome. And please keep us posted. And
thanks.
Area code 910, you're in the air.
Hey, Dr. Tim. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you,
Hi,
Susan?
Michelle.
We have another Susan on the call.
I got a lot to tell. I had to take notes so I would keep up with it. Hi, everyone. Michelle, you're so sweet to mention me and doing worksheets. It's so funny. I love you. I was so proud of you yesterday. I was breathing with you, girl.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, Susan, she called in. There's a couple things I want to say. First of all, I want to thank you for calling in as much as you do. And let me know if I go in and out. I'm not sure if I have good reception where I am. I'll try to be still, but I like to pace and talk. You call in, and as a child, I grew up in a school where we had five Susans in my class. And I was a very shy student, so I spent most of my time ducking behind the person in front of me when the teacher would say, Susan, praying that it was another Susan, that it wasn't me she was calling on or he was calling on. So every time you call or every time Jeannie or Michael will say Susan, I'm thinking they're talking about me and they're going to turn on my mic. So you have helped me heal the fear that I had stored in me by triggering it to the surface every time I hear the name Susan. And it's funny because now when you call, it's been done so much. It's a very pleasant experience. And so I just breathe, and I really haven't taken that to my worksheet process as much as just breathing in the moment and realizing and canceling the goal. And this is a big goal for me that I see now, to be invisible. You know, to be invisible in my family, to be invisible at school. And it's manifesting, which is beautiful, as they cut down the whole lot beside my house and exposed my house to so many people that are driving. I can even see the billboard on one of the main roads. And I kind of like hiding out, you know, being invisible. And now, today, they're cutting down two huge pecan trees. Well, they cut down one yesterday. They're going to take the stump up. And then they're cutting down another one in the front of my house, which is going to expose me from the other direction. And I'm thinking, my goodness, it's no more being invisible on any level. So the universe definitely has a message there. So I just want to thank Susan. I think it's Susan B. For that. And then I want to say also, the question that she asked was very good about do you always do these, how many worksheets or how often? Or I have that ask all the time at group. Do you ever get done? When you're focusing on the problem, don't you get more of the problem? And shouldn't we be focusing on love? And, you know, would you ever stop doing worksheets if you really focused on the negative energies that run through our minds? And the thought that came when Dr. Tim was answering your question for me was one I've never gotten before, was that Michael says to tithe 10% of your time, energy, and your money. And I'm thinking, so he says every day we should do 2.4 hours to our work. So I think when we do our 2.5 hours, we're free for the day. Hopefully, if anything comes up, we can make a note of it, but we can still go play and go fishing and do what we want to do and just note and breathe. And also, Michelle, guess what?
What's that?
I'm learning to breathe. I've got a little girl here that trained with Michael and Jeannie when they were here last year, and we've been trading still point breathing sessions, which has been a beautiful, absolute great thing. And I noticed that the more I breathe, the less energy comes up around my worksheet process. So
makes
maybe
sense.
There's some balance coming in my life too. So it's been great. So with that, I'll take a breath and ask if you either one have anything you want to add to that or feedback.
I feel that question this morning with this idea that if I'm, canceling my goal for good health or canceling my goal to achieve this degree, that's something, you don't want to, create. And I pointed out that that's just the key to unlock the unconscious, because that other bag of garbage that you're carrying around is resonating far more strongly at this point in terms of sabotaging what it is that you say you want to create. If that makes sense.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. And I get that a lot. A lot of my group, when they come in on Tuesdays, they really love Abraham and the teachings of Abraham to what you focus on and law of attraction. And it's been interesting because I am like just exactly what you said, is what is resonating the frequency in my energy field is what's coming toward me. It's resonating toward me. So if I can keep love the strongest focus energy, then yes. And when I have other things come up that take over, that's the time I have the tools in my toolbox to take them out and either tap or breathe or do a wake-up sheet, cancel goals, all of the above, do everything and anything, whatever moves the energy the most efficiently in the time.
Well, I think they dovetail, right? Because isn't the idea tuned in, tapped, turned on, all about alignment with love?
Mm-hmm. So, well, they do. But I think I have heard people say that they have the thought that I do worksheets 24 hours a day. And in the beginning, that may have been more true because I hadn't, it's more about learning the tools and which one works and which, and getting a flow of the energy. I just finished Laws of Living. I did the 66 days of worksheets and all of the worksheets, which is about, I think, 8 a day, maybe 7 of the different ones, and then 5 worksheets. But I'm telling you, what I learned from doing that was it definitely taught me how to manage the mind energy, and I was in a more peaceful, loving, and for me, who has control issues, it felt like I was more in control of my mind energy by doing those, by setting the Rock Makuba filters over the intentions and the perceptions in my mind to love, keeping that set on a daily basis. But I'm telling you, what I found most was true was Dr. Rice said it would help me to, and the students that did it, to build the brain cells around each one of those tools. And I think that's true so that you know which one works, what they produce, the effects, and which one's the best to use in each and every moment. And then it's like a symphony. What musical instrument goes next? What's coming next? What's in the flow of your life? Because sometimes it's not really easy to get a worksheet. You can do the breath work or connect with love or see the newborn baby or ground down or asked to see the good and truth in every person and situation. So whatever tool is in your brain cells is the one you'll pull out at that moment. And hopefully if you're connected to Ruka, she will give us guidance and which one to use next or which one for me to use next. So I didn't, that comes a trust and a flow of just relaxing into the flow of life and realizing, you know, there's really nothing I need to do but show up as love and live in the moment. So anything anybody's got to say?
I agree. The more I use the tools, the more I have an understanding of how they can be useful, where they can be useful. Absolutely.
It's beautiful. It's really great. And I want to say one more thing. We had a mind shifter group last night, and I've got somebody coming in where I'm at, so I'm going to probably have to go. But I want to say this. We did Tim. You know Tim, Michelle.
I was thinking about cleaning Amy's.
Oh, I know. I tried to get them to go. They wouldn't go last night. They didn't want anything spicy. What Tim did, we did wake-up sheets. The whole group together did wake-up sheets around the incident in Las Vegas. And each person in our group had a different feeling and a different perception of what happened. It was amazing to see the difference that it was just perfect. It was a perfect setup to teach the worksheet and teach how everyone can see the same situation, but they see it through their data in their carbon-based memory. So thank you for allowing me to share. I want to call in. I listen every day just about. It's a gift of having my job, and I appreciate you all helping Jeannie and Michael to keep the show going.
It's one of my hours of a 2.5, huh?
Yes, that's right. I didn't think about that, Michelle. You are so on top of it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I would just echo pretty much everything you said, Susan, and the idea that, you know, I did not answer Susan G's question directly because because it spoke to me that it was coming from that guilt or shame place. And we've talked on the show about how I love to go fishing and I love to ride my bike and I'm an introvert. And so if people are getting the idea just because they hear me on this show 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, or that they know that I do the support groups twice a week, if they're getting the idea that I walk around with a halo and white robes and you know, singing Om Mani Padme Om, and that's my life, they're completely mistaken. And my ex-wife and my sisters and my brother and my mother would have an entirely different picture for you of what the great and powerful Dr. Tim is really like, but don't look behind the curtain. So I really like the idea, Susan, and I have used the same thing, that I want to be at least tithing my energies toward my personal growth. And some would call that spiritual growth. It's okay with me if you use the word spiritual. And I'm anything but, you know, doing nothing but worksheets all day. I do a variety of different techniques. I like to relax. I like to ride my bike. I like to joke. I even talked about it in the show on Monday when we were talking about the Las Vegas thing. I went to a high school reunion over the weekend and didn't do any work. So, comments, questions? Susan G, Michelle, Susan D, any other Susans want to call in?
I was going to say this. I was going to say, and if you want to know more about tithing your time and your talents and your gifts and your energy, It's on that purpose, personal power, and commitment, the DVD that Michael has that's
right.
on the website. Yep.
Right.
So, yes.
And that's a really good exercise. I've worked with that with individual patients. We've talked about it in our groups. And it helps me clarify my focus, and when I focus my energies, I get a much more productive result for the same or less energy. Yeah, it's a wonderful exercise. It's what's led to me doing two groups and to being on the internet show and basically restructuring my private practice and being far more productive in my life. That particular exercise is highly recommended. It's called Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. And it has me working actively to construct and then massage and rework my secondary purpose, which is a choice I make about how to use the things I'm naturally good at and the things I absolutely love to do, whether it seems to be anything I can make any money at or not, to formulate a statement about how I'm going to use the things that I'm good at and the things I love to do to help make the world be a better place. And when I craft that statement and stay open to reworking it over time, it's a very powerful tool for helping me be on task, be on focus, and get a lot more done with a lot less effort.
Absolutely, and have the support of the universe, the energy of momentum to help you create that purpose statement.
Yeah, there are a lot of wonderful quotes from people over the years that say things like, you know, once you commit and pursue, all manner of unseen support mobilizes. Until we commit, there's always hesitancy. And the unseen forces of the universe and energies and other people in resonance don't get stimulated. But once I make a commitment and I move forward, taking an action based on the commitment I've made, because I'm in an energetic universe, it starts to resonate with other people who have similar interests, and the power is amplified. And all manner of help shows up that I never would have expected, that I could never have seen coming. Yeah, it's a powerful tool. So we are going to be here again. What is today? Wednesday. Tomorrow and Friday. I don't know if Michael will join us. They're still doing lots of good family stuff, cleaning up houses and making arrangements for Jeannie's dad to start this new phase of his life, and so I've made the commitment to just be here if they need me to host the show. So join us again tomorrow and Friday. Think about what's been discussed today. Please feel free to join us with your questions and comments, and in the meantime, go to whyagain.org. Print off the tools, whether it's the Reality Management Worksheet or any of the others that are available. Apply them in your life and let us know the results. And in the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.